Welcome to the Weekly Take and our second quarter economic and real estate update with my old friend Henry Chin, our global head of research, and we're delighted to have him back on the show. Henry, welcome back.
Thank you, Spence, for having me here.
Great to have you, Henry. So, Henry, we've just gotten our second quarter numbers, but how would you classify the news from a real estate perspective in the second quarter?
I have to say the U.S. commercial real estate market continue its recovery journey. And I was very surprised. We do see the strongest sign of resilience from both leasing and the capital market activities. Despite of all the noises that we are facing, office leasing is recovering, very strong. Industrial leasing. So I was surprised. And the capital market investor continue to put more money into commercial real estate market spaces. So overall, I feel very comfortable to say the market has passed its trough. We are on the way for the recovery.
Well, let's go into the one area within the market that I think people are perhaps most skeptical about, or certainly face the greatest decline, which is office. We all know the tale of two worlds, Class A doing great, everything else being softer. But interestingly, in addition to Class A leasing actually doing quite well, we've seen more capital markets activity. We've seen actually institutions come back into the market. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that is a quite fascinating spaces. I have to say, all the investors should pay attention to what occupiers are looking for. As you highlighted, occupier is looking for the great quality of the buildings and the great connection for the metro and the great connectivities and vibrant centers. If you tick all the boxes for what occupier wants, investors should actually focus on that type of office asset. And given the fundamentals are probably already, definitely past the trough. And I do believe that investors should really pay attention to the office market. In Q2 figures, I think the office investment volume has increased by 20%.
And I'm aware about in the investor market, San Francisco seems a lot of vibrancy. I heard over 15 deals were done, and these are tends to be smaller, $100 million and below. But nevertheless, we are seeing an increased volume, not just volume, but what I think is most important is there has been a material shift of the type of investor. It's now not just the high net worth group. It's the institutions saying, you know what? Maybe the pendulum swung too far against office. You agree with that?
I 100% agree with that. Number one, pricing is so attractive. Number one. Number two, we look at the market fundamentals. The tech sectors are coming back to the spaces to take up more spaces when the fundamental space market recover. You know, investors should follow them. So therefore, I think San Francisco, for our forecast for the next 5 years, this market is leading indicators.
And I don't want to paint too rosy a picture. There's still an enormous amount of office that is not Class A, that needs to be converted, needs to be demolished, needs a lot of CapEx. That story will be written for a long period of time, but the overall office market for velocity, for new money, is good.
Yes, that's why I was always talking to the investors. It's something to look out for. From a cyclical point of view, we need to buy, you know, when the market reaches the bottom, it's about to recover, it's a time to entering. But also from a structural point of view, we need to understand what occupier are looking for. Occupier are looking for the good quality buildings in the vibrant centers where they can get the staff to come back to the offices. So if we overlaid, play the cycle and the structural opportunities, I do think our office, we do have a clear winners for the office sector.
When we're talking about fundamentals, industrial, notwithstanding the fact that we had negative absorption in the second quarter, we had a lot of positive new deals being done, maybe people shifting out of old into new. And so our optimism on industrial has gotten better. What do you think, Henry?
Yeah, to our surprise, I have to say the leasing activities has been growing quite substantially in the second quarter of this year. And then similar to what we are seeing in the office sector, occupiers are also doing flight to quality. And especially because I was coming from Asia Pacific, the flight to quality has happened 2 years ago in Asia Pacific. Because what occupiers are looking for, they want to closer to the market, closer to the consumer, they want the modern facilities. That has happened in APAC. Now we see the similar trends are happening here in the US. So for those facilities which potentially built before 2020, will face the challenges. The second quarter, to our surprise, the leasing demands is largely coming from 3PLs, right? The 3PLs was a third, now increased to 40%. The second point I want to highlight here is the e-commerce. You and I love to shopping online, right? And the e-commerce, the share of e-commerce has grown quite substantially. As a result, the retailers are also demanding the landlord to upgrade the facilities. So they're taking on so many new facilities as well. So as a result, the gross leasing figures has been pretty solid in the second quarter of this year.
I think there's a bigger point here, and this is a point for some of our rising professionals here. Did you hear what Henry just said? Henry saw a trend in Asia, which then moved here, and he saw it 2 years ago. It's really important when you're trying to understand where the trends are going to understand not just your market, but other markets, including foreign markets. It's also important to understand other asset types, because that's where you're going to see, aha, there's a trend here that's going to apply to this different market, different asset type. Agree with that, Henry?
100% agree. And surprisingly, when I was in Asia Pacific, Spence, we always look at the trends coming from the US. And then, but the transformation for the logistics spaces in APAC is leading the trends globally. So therefore, I think the modern facilities closer to the market, closer to the consumers. Funny enough, occupier telling us the modern facility doesn't mean the multi-stories facilities. They want them, one floor layout, a massive land supply, and also good power. That's what they want to occupy. So those facilities will outperform going forward.
Years ago, I said open air retail is the best opportunity in real estate. And the reason was the institutions hated it because everything looked like a Class B mall to them. Well, not to me and not to the people who really dug in. And I just saw our most recent forecast in that retail is actually expected to be the number one performing asset class in terms of total returns over the next 5 years. Tell us about that, Henry.
It's very funny. Retail sectors should have been hit the hardest given the current uncertainties. But investors, sometimes they are a little bit lagging because they fail to understand what occupier wants and by overlooking the demand-supply dynamics. If you understand the retail sector, if you're talking to the retailers, what they want to do is they really want to do the open-air facilities in the highly populated areas. That's number one, their preferences. Number two, the power center will continue to outperform if there aren't any open air facilities for them to occupy. But if you thinking about the retail fundamentals, Spence, I think, yes, the demand is kind of recovering, but because of uncertainties, the demand is kind of slowing to return to normal. But the supply picture was very solid for retail sectors because over the past decades, we don't have enough retail supply into the market, right supply. As a result, availability is limited, particularly for those prime locations, Spence. And as a result, the retailers are telling us they want to have those facilities in a prime locations open air. If they own space available, they will wait. If their space available fit their criteria, they're just going to go ahead with their expansionary plan. So I have to say, retail is not a surprise. We are going to see the stronger recovery over the next few years from a total return point of view.
And notwithstanding the fact we have seen seriously strong fundamentals in office, industrial, retail, I think there's much more of a mixed story in multifamily. How would you classify the multifamily market overall, Henry?
If you look at the U.S. market, multifamily as a whole, I have to say last year was a peak of a supply, so rental growth was struggling. But now I am very happy to say the rental growth in multifamily also has already bottoming out. But the recovery is not an even story. For the Sunbelt markets, and there's a huge amount of supply, I think the recovery timeline will be expanded. However, Chicago, New York, or even San Francisco markets, we are expecting to see a stronger bounce back in terms of the rental growth. And based on what we are seeing, if you want to categorize the several markets, I think the Midwest market and the Pacific Northwest market are leading the growth. So therefore, I think multifamily, yes, the recovery is happening, but the story is pretty much uneven.
And then lastly, alternatives, and it's a big category because it includes data centers, SFR, BTR, self-storage, student housing. So it's hard to make a blanket statement because some of them are soft. They're each very niche-y. Is there enough money coming to them? Maybe too much in some of these small sectors. If you could classify the alternative sectors, Henry, how would you look at it?
It's very interesting because, again, if I'm a real estate capital allocators, I was starting looking at the market size and also looking at the cycle, look at the pricing, look at the structural changes. You know, we've been talking about the traditional asset classes. The size is big, liquidity is big, repricing has happened. So if I got $100, I'm probably going to start in with traditional asset classes. So on the remaining capital, I will look for alternatives. And the alternative is because they are emerging as asset class expense. So therefore, I will looking what are the demands are coming from. The structural change, the demand is pretty much all about AIs and data centers. I think you can see that's why the pie of capital are coming to these spaces as well. And the self storage is kind of interesting thing. I think it's a pocket of the market. We are going to see some stronger opportunities. But widespread, you know, if you look at the US as a country, the trend for alternatives, probably I will looking into data center more closely because the vacancy rate has been very, very low and the power supply remain a major challenges. But again, I want to talk about the credit market. You know, is a credit market alternative or not alternative? Some people think about real estate credit is alternative. Some people say don't. In my mind, it becomes mainstream. And I think among those capital allocations, I think it's a good time to look at the credit market going forward as well.
Well, Henry, you're not the only guy to think it's a good time to look at the credit markets. You know who likes that idea? The credit markets. And I can be very specific about that. I had recently met with some of the largest private equity funds that have both equity and debt side. And this is the quote I've gotten in almost every meeting, that they are getting equity type returns in debt type vehicles. And because of that, why wouldn't you be further up in the capital stack? So, Henry, the market is with you. And in fact, there are some tax advantages for foreign investors being a debt investor versus an equity investor. So a lot of things are looking good if you're prepared to do higher yield debt instruments.
It's very interesting. When I was talking to the international investors, I sometimes talk to them, it's no brainer. I want to put my money into the US capital market because the repricing has already happened. But they worry about the tax, worry about incentive. So therefore, I said to them, come to look at the credit market. They said, oh, we never thought about credit. But by default, yes, we should look at the credit market. I think there's plenty of capital to look into the spaces. And I agree with you 100%.
Well, this is the crystal ball portion of the show. And in the next 6 months, I know what our house view has been on capital markets activity, which is better than 24, but not gangbusters. But things have gotten better from a fundamental standpoint. And there certainly has been some talk about maybe two, maybe three rate cuts, which could help us even further. And maybe if the 10-year stays stable, when I say stable, between 4 and 4.25, 4, 4.5, we're in a better place. What's your crystal ball for the rest of the year?
I think that trade, lots of noises, uncertainties, the tariff things will be eased off. And so therefore, people are focusing on what we need to get it down to move forward. For the CEOs, the CFOs, or COOs, the worst scenarios for them is they don't know the future, right? But if the trade tension has been eased off, you know, whether it's upside, downside, it doesn't really matter because I can make a decision going forward. So to my surprise, don't be surprised. I think the second half of the year will be a lot better than our current house view.
All right. Well, that's a good way to end it, but we're going to end it in a different way because you've been in the United States, living in Dallas now, not quite a year. What's the best thing about living in Dallas? Surprise you the most? And do you have your cowboy boots and hat yet?
I haven't bought my cowboy hat and boots just yet because the inflation is quite expensive to buy a boot, right? It's $300 a pair of boots, which is crazy. But I have to say, I was blown away by being in Dallas. Because everyone knows I am Taiwanese. Our Taiwanese airlines is going to operate the direct flight from Dallas to Taipei. Clearly, Dallas is growing as a hub. So therefore, I am very happy to see that happening. But nevertheless, I have to say, I declare Dallas is home for me in the U.S.
Fantastic. Well, on behalf of the Weekly Take, our old friend Henry Chin, Global Head of Research for CBRE, third appearance on the show. What a great job. Thank you, Henry. And I'm so glad you've made Dallas your new home.
Thank you for having me here, Spence.
For more insights on the global economy and real estate sectors at mid-year, check out cbre.com/USOutlook. And of course, join us again here on the podcast next week with a new regularly scheduled episode of the Weekly Take. Until then, thanks for tuning in. I'm Spencer Levy. Be smart, be safe, be well.